God, not only for the privilege, but, and it is a privilege when you stop to think that the Word of God can still be opened in our times, in our land. Often we take it for granted, but God has been gracious to us here in the Bahamas, and we thank Him for it. I want you to turn, please, to Psalm 91, and in view of our latest sadness of dear brother Fred, that my heart was immediately touched, as I'm sure yours was. I told him on the phone, Fred, I only wish that I could be there to put my arms around you. And several times my beloved brother broke down and wept. And it's really encouraging to me as well, the response of such a man of God like brother Fred. His son-in-law took the funeral. By the way, I shouldn't say by the way, Fred asked to be remembered to you, and already he felt the prayers of the saints. And he wants you to continue to remember him in prayer. And he told me that George took the funeral, and he felt like he should get up and say something. How he could participate is only another indication of God's grace. God gives grace on such an occasion. And Fred said, and I said a little about Freddie Jr.'s life. He said, but the two verses that came to my heart, that it has encouraged me, and he said that the Lord giveth and the Lord taketh away, blessed be the name of the Lord. And he then, from Job, Brother Fred quoted, though he slay me, yet will I trust in him. And he took up the text, at least he read the text, and I believe that must have came as a tremendous, let's say, blow to his heart. But that was his text. The text was, O Absalom, Absalom, my son, would God I had died for thee. Only a man with the grace of God in his heart could ever take a text of that consequence, of that category, and be able to use it at the funeral of his beloved son. We stop to think that that family has been bereft of, as far as we know, three of the children. John, missing for many years, believed to be dead, although we do not know. And then the other son who died, it brought also a real sadness to their hearts, and now Freddie. Beloved, many times we wonder and we ask the question, why? And I'm sure that some of you, in life's tragedies, as you look back, you've asked the same question. It's really ironic that I should take up the subject why, and I can't even explain it in detail. But keep in mind that the greatest one who ever lived on the face of the earth, during his hour of deepest trial, when the sin of the world was placed upon him, it was he who cried on the cross, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? And you and I can not really interpret the feeling or even imagine what he went through. We know that the reason for Calvary was that he might procure our salvation and justify every man, every woman that comes to him. For they will be justified by blood, by peace, and by faith in the risen Christ, in the work of our Lord Jesus Christ. And so, beloved, there are many other things in the world that we do not understand. But we have the Word of God to encourage. Psalm 91 has been a great source of encouragement to the saints of God down through the years, and I will be referring to a few other verses, but I want you to turn to it at this time, please. Psalm 91, and reading from verse 1 of this beautiful psalm. He that dwelleth in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. What a hiding place. I will say of the Lord, He is my refuge and my fortress. My God, in him will I trust. Surely he shall deliver thee from the snare of the fowler and from the noisome pestilence. He shall cover thee with his feathers, and under his wings shalt thou trust. Oh, the warmth of his love and the warmth of his protection. How comforting. It says his truth shall be thy shield and buckler. Thou shalt not be afraid for the terror by night, and there are many terrors. There are terrors that strike when you least expect it. But the psalmist said, I will not be afraid for the terror by night, nor for the arrow that flieth by day. There's the arrow of testing. nor for the pestilences that walketh in darkness, nor for the destruction that wasteth at noonday. 1,000 shall fall at thy side, and 10,000 at thy right hand, but it shall not come nigh thee. Only with thine eyes shalt thou behold and see the reward of the wicked, because thou hast made the Lord, which is my refuge, even the Most High, thy habitation. There shall no evil befall thee, neither shall any plague come nigh thy dwelling, as the promise given to Israel. For he shall give his angels charge over thee to keep thee in all thy ways. You know, beloved, I believe there are many, many angels about, and I wouldn't trust wholly and solely on them. It's really still a bit mystical as to the ministry of angels regarding the children of God, the saints of God today. But I'll tell you one thing that's no mystery. I know that the Lord Jesus has said of him, I will never leave you nor forsake you. And so we have the assurance of the presence of the one who died for us. And I want to suggest to you that it's the Christ of God that we can depend and confide in to be the one who is always with us. For he, the Father, has given him charge over the church. And I tell you what security, what blessing that is. Says, because thou hast made the Lord, which is my refuge, verse 9, even the Most High, thy habitation. Then verse 11 says, for he shall give his angels charge over thee to keep thee in all thy ways. They shall bear thee up in their hands, lest thou dash thy foot against the stone. Listen, beloved, verse 14. Because he has set his love upon me, therefore will I deliver him. I will set him on high because he hath known my name. I'm so glad that we know the name of the Father. But it's equally as great to us that he knows our name. He shall call upon me and I will answer him. I will be with him in trouble. Thank God for the assurance of his word. I will be with him in trouble. I will deliver him and I will honor him. With long life will I satisfy him and show him my salvation. May God bless the reading of these precious words. Lest thou dash thy foot against the stone. Beloved, please keep in mind that God never said that he was going to remove the stones of trial in life. There will be the dashing of our feet against the stone. The idea here is there will be times of crisis in one's life. There will be agony. There will be pain. And we're going to encounter this as we go through life with only the rapture or by way of the cemetery that will deliver us from all of these things. And perhaps the rapture will be there not too long from now to really give us the blessing that we long desire. You'd be surprised how many believers, even tonight, are groaning in pain, sighing and praying that God would send the Lord Jesus into the world and claim his beloved bride. Thank God there'll be no need of surgery for the replacement of hip in glory. The rapture will take care of all of that because he'll give us a new body. It will be instant. It will be immediate. Oh, beloved, something to look forward to. But oh, listen. He didn't say that he would remove the stones. He did not say for us to pick up the stone because they're too heavy. You and I cannot carry some of them in life. But someone, you've heard it in prayer often, that while God will not remove the stones of difficulty and the stones of crisis or problems in life, it'll make them stepping stones. We'll be able to climb, and our hearts will be drawn closer to him. I confess, I do not understand the whys of many of the things that happen. But the word of God in Job chapter 5, Eliphaz said, although affliction cometh not forth of the dust, neither doth trouble spring out of the ground. But then where do they come from? The child of God, listen, whatever he allows. I'm not saying that God is directly responsible for everything, but we know that in his sovereignty, God allows things to fulfill his purposes. We will not understand the purposes of God until we get there. But I know one thing, his way is perfect. And the judge of the earth will do right. He always has and he always will. You can depend on his precious word. And his purposes are best. Trouble, according to the word of God, is normal, really. Yet man is born unto trouble as the sparks fly upward. But there is a remedy. I like this verse. It says, I will seek unto God. That's the key. There hath no temptation or testing taken you, but such as is common to man. But God is faithful, who will not suffer you to be tested above that ye are able, but will with the testing also make a way to escape, that you may be able to bear it. Bear it. Psalm 34, verse 19. Many are the afflictions of the righteous. Many. Underline that. So that we will not be surprised when they come. The word of God promises that. But listen, it says, but the Lord delivereth him. Throw them all. I like that. Thank God for his encouragement. Psalm 30 and verse 5 says, weeping may endure for a night, but joy cometh in the morning. Oh, beloved, if it wasn't for the morning, I guess some of us would lose our sanity. We wouldn't be able to bear it. And so there is a morning of hope. There is a morning of brightness. There is a morning of relief. There's a morning of joy. Joy cometh in the morning. Thank God for the promise of his word. Did not God bless the latter end of Job? You think for a moment that Job understood all of the trials that he was going through? When a barrage of incidents came to that man's life, to his heart, and like a stabbing pain, again and again, he was told of all the tragedies that befell him. When his children were taken away from him with one stroke, as it were, and they were gone. Job covered himself. His wife advised that he curse God and die, but not Job. Job kept quiet, and he wanted to glorify God. In fact, he did glorify God. Though he slay me, yet will I trust in him. And even when the pain came to him physically, that is, when his body was touched, when Satan was allowed to touch his body, Job still trusted God. Oh, what a man. We can learn from Job. I have to be careful how I talk. The simple reason is I certainly do not appreciate pain or discomfiture. In trials in life, there have been a few that have come, and I cannot say that they have been enjoyable, but we have proven the Lord and his hand in it all. And there are divine purposes which I have asked myself why. But I've left the answers with God. And he has given strength in the days that have followed. And I'm sure that you've experienced the same. Psalm 119 and 71, it says, it is good for me that I have been afflicted, that I might know thy ways or thy word. It is good. What good can come out of affliction? Nova Scotia Bank of the Royal Bank says we're going to give you according to all of our assets how far or how much you think that they will give. You see, they are limited. No matter how much they are, according to his riches and glory, unlimited riches. There can never possibly be ever be any such thing as a bankrupt heaven or a bankrupt God. He says, and I will supply your need. And when you need comfort in a time of sorrow, you'll discover the physical things of life are not important. The material becomes secondary. The bank account will dwindle and fade into nothingness. Especially if our bodies are hit by the dreadful disease, the terminal disease of cancer. And we see our own bodies wasting away by the minute or by the hour. We look into the mirror one morning and we know it's only but a short time or a period of time and we will be gone. And everything in life will just fade into oblivion. Beloved, does this not teach us a lesson too? Oh, to honor the Lord. Then with the light, and be able to enjoy his word, and to be able to take his word and to apply it to our hearts so that we might be encouraged. Oh yes, there are certainty of problems. Mr. Wiersbe asked the question in one of his books. I wish I could find the book. I tried to find it today in my library, but perhaps it was ruined from the hurricane. It threw out so many of my books. But he did ask this question, how do we react when they come? I believe this will depend on our maturity, spiritual maturity. Some of us will feel like quitting. I've been there. You'll be surprised how easy it is to quit. You'll be surprised how many of God's people feel like quitting. And they ask, why? Oh, God, why did you allow this? Oh, God, why? And you want to give up. I've been there a few times. But the Lord kept whispering, no, I'm not finished with you yet. Remember Elijah? Elijah was my servant. And I had 7,000 who had not bowed the knee to Baal. And Elijah said, I'm the only one left. And he had a suicidal urge. And in fact, he went on a hunger strike. He traveled for miles and miles and miles. So one morning I woke him up and gave him a cake, revived him. And I said, Elijah, I'm not through with you yet. I've got a king that I want you to anoint. And I got a prophet that I want to take your place. I'm not through with you yet, Elijah. Isn't God merciful? Isn't he kind? And so he came to the quitter. I think of another man who also wanted to commit suicide, and I say this with real sadness in my heart. We're living in an age where even some of God's professed people who have taken their lives. Listen, beloved, listen. We're living in a very awful age, and we need to pray for one another more than we do. Even when they're going through their trial, we need to lift them up before God. Believe me. It strikes perhaps the times where you least expect. And you might even ask, no, it cannot be, but it did. I think of dear Pa Sim, that man who was so heavily hit with crisis. And you have to agree with me that Brother Sims was one of the most spiritual men that we've ever had live, brought up in this country. A man that was so mightily used of God. And yet you know what happened to his beloved son David, Dr. David. And his own brother, and his first wife. And even when he was driving to one of the assemblies up north in Long Island, how he ran over his brother with the vehicle. And his dear beloved brother, Brother Smith, was killed instantly. And Brother Sims says, I've had many tragedies in my life. Even that of my own son, I don't even know, Frank, he says, if anything affected me more than what happened that day to my dear beloved brother, in the assembly there at Seymour. Beloved, listen. Some of God's people have gone through the crucible. And they've asked why. But God sustained them. Brother Cecil was able to come out of it and carry on his preaching under the most difficult circumstances. You've heard me talk of dear Lily Bethel. We do not have time to go into detail. But think of her entire family almost wiped out because of the kidney disease. And beloved, listen. One blow after another. And even now she's not well in her body. But she shines with the amazing grace of God. Why, you might ask. Do you think that she never asked why? When a dear man stood in a certain telegraph office waiting for a reply when the Villa de Havre was sunk, went down. And he got a telegram, and the telegram said, saved, alone. It was from his wife. And the 5 children went down in the ship. His heart was so burdened and so heavy. But it was a man who was given to song and who wrote some beautiful hymns. And when he came back over the ocean by liner, and they said, this is the approximate spot where the ship went down, and gave the name of the ship. He saw the faces of his 5 children. An imaginary picture, no doubt, of the reflection of them in that water. God gave him the beautiful words, when peace like a river attendeth my way, when sorrow like sea billows roll, whatever my lot thou hast taught me to say, it is well. It is well with my soul. It is well. It is well with my soul. If Satan should buffet, if trials should come, let this blessed assurance control, that Christ has regarded my helpless estate and has shed his own blood for my soul. It is well. It is well. For me, be it Christ hence to live. If Jordan above me shall roll, no pang shall be mine, for in death as in life, thou wilt whisper thy peace to my soul. Beloved, it is well. It is well still to the child of God. I want to make a statement here. I would rather be a Christian with my crisis and have them face with my Father God and with our Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, than be a sinner with no one to pray to, no one to hold my hand when in despair and when seemingly we're sinking in the sands of life. I'd rather be a Christian with all of my difficulties, wouldn't you? Of course. Than to be an unconverted man with no one to pray to. No assurance, no security. And there are teeming millions out in the world tonight, beloved, who do not have this hope. Oh, thank God that we have one who draws near to our hearts. And we thank God for his presence. I think of tidal waves. I'm bringing these things up out because these people ask why too. Is a boxer in Nassau gloriously converted? In one of the crusades our brethren had in the city. And Tidal Wave was so moved by God, Brother Duncanson decided to go to the Prayer Bible Institute. And he was doing quite well. His aspirations were many. Led by God, he felt sure. And one day traveling with a couple of students in the car, they had an accident. Brother Duncanson went into a coma and never regained consciousness. And he died. Cut off in the prime of life at the age of 24. You say, why? Only God knows. But isn't it glorious to know that he gave his heart to Christ before the crisis came? I don't understand how my beloved co-worker, Brother Ed and Sister Valma, when they got the shocking news of their beloved daughter and his son-in-law, the son of the heart, they were brutally murdered. I don't understand these things, do you? But I know God has been with him, and Ed is preaching today with more power than he ever preached in his life. I suppose there are moments when he asks, why? Come home a little closer. Family members are here. Forgive me for bringing it up. But remember just a few years ago when that giant cesspit caved in. And dear Brother Bursell, with broken bones in his body, and there he was laid out on the clinic floor, along with a couple of other of our folks from the island. And the one next to him, we all know so well. And I leaned over to Brother Bursell and said, Brother Bursell, it's going to be all right. I'll never forget the words. He turned to the person next to him and looked at me with glassy eyes. It was obvious that life was ebbing from his body. He called the person's name that was lying next to him. He said, I'd rather be me than you. Oh, what graciousness of a man. Thank God for a person. Thank God for a man that was ready. But oh, beloved, it hit our hearts, did it not? And some of you family members remember, how could you ever forget? I tried to put myself in your place when the five children were drowned in Spanish Wells. The whole island were rocked into sorrow. And many ask, why? Why? We know one thing. The outcome. A revival broke out in the land. Many, many souls came to the Lord Jesus Christ. And often I've tried to picture dear Uncle By. Our beloved friend and brother, remember, I was told by Brother Lambert and many other family members when he came up that street with the two children across his shoulder. It must have been an awesome, awesome moment. You may ask why. But God gave sustaining grace. Dear Madge and Geneva, thank God for these dear women. They've held these things in their hearts for many, many years. And they come in attendance and they hear the word of God in their hearts and been encouraged in the assembly down through the years. We thank God for people like this. I don't understand the Aka Indians, how God would allow his servants to be murdered, the five missionaries, the way they were murdered. We know the outcome. Many, many years later, these men were reached for Christ, and they were gloriously saved. Can you imagine Eve? She saw her beloved son Abel They unearthed him. No doubt they did. The first death in that family. How jolting it must have been. Not long ago I spoke on Josiah, the young king, who ascended the throne at the age of 7 or 8. Joash was hidden in the temple, another young man, good men. But Josiah, his life was so precious in the sight of the Lord. And God used him mightily. And Josiah went out one battle, his first battle, and he was killed. Cut off in the prime of life. Do you understand that? Maybe I do. Maybe God took Josiah, because Nebuchadnezzar swooped down over Israel and Judah not many years after that. Perhaps he was sparing his servant, Josiah, the tragedy and the awfulness of that occasion. But he was cut off. You understand, one of the most promising evangelists in the New Testament, his name is Stephen, preached with power. Hearts were convicted. Yet they stoned him to death. Tell me, can you figure out why James should be killed by Herod and God would allow it, and yet he would deliver Peter out of prison? And the list goes on and on, beloved. What scriptures can we rest on? I've given you a few. Psalm 91 is a good psalm of comfort and strength. And we could always rely on that. Though we may feel like quitting, but go on. You might even ask, why doesn't the road get easier? It says, he that dwelleth, that's it. He that dwelleth in the secret, or in the secret place of the Most High, shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. We're never out of His sight. I thank God for that. You know, there are 11 dangers recorded in Psalm 91. We're not going to go into detail, but they're there. But His promises are also there. And I thank God for those promises. I just pray that our life will be encouraged. That if there are defeats, if there are discouragement, if there is sickness, if there are needs, whether financial or otherwise, may God just help us to rely on Him and trust Him and to learn something from these incidents in our life, no matter what they are. May the Lord just encourage our hearts. And lastly, the life of the Lord Jesus, He was born in a poor family. Brought up in Nazareth, the rejected race, grew up in obscurity. And it was said of Nazareth, can any good thing come out of Nazareth? Place of scorn. Then when he had appointed his disciples, Judas betrayed him. Peter denied him. Thomas doubted him. And they all forsook him and fled. But in the resurrection it says, the stone was rolled away. Beloved, listen. Lest thou dash thy foot against the stone. Yes, there are a lot of stones in life. But he said, in the resurrection morn, I'll roll away the stone. And that's it, is it not? Our Savior is alive tonight. He is an encouragement to our hearts. He said, I will be there. John 17, oh, beloved, read the prayer of Christ, the high priestly prayer of Christ. The work which thou gavest me. And he says, the men which thou gavest me have I kept. None have I lost. Listen, and the words which you gave me, I have given to them. Several times in the book, at least 15 times, you have the word given or gave. It's just like God. It's just like our Father. Always there to give, as Brother Dudley mentioned the outset of the meeting. He is a God of grace, and the God is always giving. P.P. Bliss, one of the great songwriters of his time, and I mean a great songwriter. Why the train was derailed and was in flames, P.P. Bliss went in to try to save his beloved wife. And in trying or in attempting to save her, lost his own life. P.P. Bliss was a great man of God. He wrote the words such as, I will sing of my Redeemer. Whosoever heareth, shout, shout the sound. He wrote Almost Persuaded. He wrote Man of Sorrows, What a Name. Brightly Beams of Father's Mercy. He wrote, I am so glad that our Father's in heaven. Tells of the love in the book you've given. And yet God took him home. Took him home in a tragedy or a tragic way. They were burned in that train that was derailed. Well, if I don't understand all the problems of life, why they come, I only want to encourage your heart to assure you that there isn't a thing that happens but that God is cognizant of them all. Every detail, everything is known to Him. And it's the sparrow that falls to the ground. Our Father God goes to the funeral of that little creature. Are ye not of more worth than many sparrows? So we pray. Father, we look to you for help tonight, and we thank you for the way that you have helped. But we're thinking particular of the saints of God that are going through the crucible of life. Dear Brother Fred and Maddie, oh God, that they will encourage, be encouraged, and they'll sense your presence as never before. Stand by them. Lord, lift their hearts up. Is there a moment where they might even ask why? Give them the assurance of your word. If there are moments, oh God, where they feel despairingly such as even quitting, help them to go on. Fill them with the love of Christ which will constrain them day by day. For our beloved brethren and sisters, some need surgery and others who are undergoing treatment at this time. We commend them to you, Lord. Remember us here in the assembly. Give encouragement to your people and do pray indeed that you bless your word to our hearts tonight. For we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's sing a verse. I know the time is gone, but let's sing a verse or two of 413, please. 413, that beautiful hymn written by Mrs. Spafford. After his children died, five of them that died or perished in that sinking ship. 413. When peace like a river attendeth my way, when sorrows like sea billows roll, whatever my lot thou hast taught me to know, it is well with my soul. Just the first verse, please, and the last.